from the Assembly of the Mountain Chillwater Special Service District. Sorry, okay. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, we need to go into executive session.
We do.
We do. Okay, do I have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to enter executive session.
Second.
Yeah, in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous.
We're probably only.
We just need to know who motioned
Yeah.
go out of executive. Okay. We need to go back in.
So, all right.
Okay. So, to that agenda, did anyone change it to the minutes from last month?
There was a second set of minutes that was circulated for some additional time.
I'd say an addition, and it looked like it got in.
Yep.
Any questions on the check register?
Carlos Malone, the vehicle repairs for $1,300.
Not sure if that was tires and oil change or exactly what that was.
But not an accident or anything.
No, no.
Routine maintenance. Correct.
Routine maintenance.
Was that the Dodge dealer? And
Yes.
yeah, so I wonder if that was the Dodge dealer in Heber now. That could be. Oh, it could be four. Yeah, that's right. I forgot he's got the one at the junction now.
And then Aquamarine payment for 6,200. Is that final payment on that?
So we have a draft in hand.
Well, I'm asking.
Yep. Happy to distribute to the board and Ian love it. You can guys on it. Really appreciate the feedback. And anybody else wants to see it, happy to distribute it. Just let me know.
We will be talking about it in January.
So, I'm going to ask the cliff notes and.
Yeah, that's not that's something.
235 pages of light reading.
And there's one little payment that we made in December.
Yeah, I remember that. So this is final.
No. So this is we made it $1,400 better than we check register because it is November, and we've made a payment in December. I think
Football, make a little over $2,000 left addressing. The time growth more the surveillance cameras, 20,000. Sounds like some of those went into the plant, but
Nope, it's all treatment plant, Lost Canyon, and Silver Creek pump station.
okay.
Yep, and the last one goes in tomorrow. So that was cameras and installation.
Input thing, and then there's a electronic keypad. Is there some sort of like an overall plan that we're working to with regards to surveillance, or is it when we go to a conference and this is what somebody's doing and we decide to do?
No, we've been wanting to do some surveillance cameras, and we were waiting for some of the network stuff to be done that got finished this last year. To be able to do the camera stuff, we did a competitive bid process on that. And then the lock stuff is sort of in tandem with it, but they're not tied together. Brian, how many remote sites do we have? 46 or something like that that we're trying to get so that they're go keyless on to be able to facilitate entry for us and our I mean,
Security.
Yeah, there is from a general security standpoint, because the old original camera system was all local machines with old, basically Costco type cameras in it. They were not functioning anymore. So we were trying to get back to where we had inside and outside visibility with the amount of catalytic converter thefts lately, even in the area. We wanted to add surveillance to our site. So
just observations that since I've been here, I mean, you have no visibility on the pond. And I'm really concerned someone's going to walk back there and end up, something's going to happen.
Because there's something that we can see.
Yeah.
So after everything that happened in North Carolina and now South Carolina, it's shocking to me that it's not a weekend. Nobody knows what happened. And our campaign for that town.
It gives us some visibility.
Yep. Yeah, for those facilities, this is much safety as anything, because they can now have a better eye of what's happening inside before they enter the building. I can pull it up if you guys want, or if you guys want to see more than what the picture was.
I see. In the software associated with those, does it stay alert if something comes down?
Not if they go down, but we can do it for motion based on time. So, like, say that we know that there's not really supposed to be anybody in there between, you know, 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So any, you know, and it can differentiate between vehicles and people. And we're just starting to explore the full capabilities of that. But that's one of the safety things and security-based things we're working towards. Okay. And you can do zones, you know, like, so you could do a small portion of it so it's not picking up extraneous movement, trees, and that kind of stuff. So, I'll have to look into it. Yeah.
But the general space is, you know, that's where potentially.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We had any vandalism at all that you're aware of?
Not recently, no. We had some spray paint issues, but 6-8 years ago at one of our buildings, but nothing more than that.
But are we being stringent enough to avoid or to see if we have vandalism? I mean, do we need to revisit the whole policy?
I think, I don't know. I don't know the best way to answer that, Jeff. Andy?
So meaning be more vigilant in site visits, and I mean, people go to the sites weekly.
Well, in our last scan upgrade, we made a little bit of damage by putting an intrusion line, water lines in there. So,
yeah. I guess what I'm asking in general is, do we have anything in place? God forbid something happens. That's really what I'm asking.
Not everywhere. There are parts of the system that we don't have visual. The blessing and the curse of winter is it requires us to plow out areas so they get more visibility than they may during the summer. But yeah, other than doing it from a daily basis or installing cameras everywhere, it's, you know, it's just site by site as we visit them.
Do you think that we're enough safety issues? What's the word I want to use?
I'm thinking of standard care is our.
Yeah.
Our program meet the standard of care.
I believe it does.
Okay. All right.
99% of the time. You always have that.
Right. Yeah, the simply just care control. Okay. All right. That's all I have.
Okay. Designed public water rate study, $4,700. Was that the only bill for that?
There's another one that's coming for, there was one right before that, about $1,700. There's like a $200 one. I think overall it cost was about $77,000.
I was just going to highlight that seems like a great value for what they provide. Yeah. Good job either way. I think that's that was a good effort. And then last question, the Gorgoza well 658K there. Remind me, I thought we talked about it last time a little bit. What being done there with Nickerson?
Russellville video.
So is that a well that we own? It's just called Gorgoza?
Yeah.
Okay, we share it with Thorpe.
No, it was part of the...
Is that the one that's on the hill, just behind the pond?
West of those. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of behind north or east of Susan Lane. So there's that the kind of the eastern entrance to Pine Brook by the white apartments he was mentioning, and that kind of lower wetlands area.
Yeah.
It's on off of that loop.
Okay. That's it for me.
Checks. It's the Summit County health sample. How does that work? I mean, is Summit County actually going to take the sample and then charge you for it? Or you take the sample and give it to them and they test it? How does that work?
They run around there.
So they just randomly go around your sample and send you a bill?
Yeah.
We have specified site for our vacuum sample.
Yeah, we have a sampling site land that's reviewed by the state. That physically go take the samples and run them.
So they don't tell you, they just send you a bill and said, we've done it.
It's monthly after the samples are taken with the results. That's all the above physical sampling.
So the county itself doesn't have the budget for these folks to go and do the sampling. It's all paid for by Summit Water and and all that. Okay.
Any other questions? I had two for electric power for $5,000. Which pump was working?
They had a couple. They had a couple that they were working on for us. It could have been the Lost Canyon. We had some electrical issues with one. And then there was also another one at the treatment plant that they were helping to rewire. I thought that was more expensive than $5,000, but
it's in distribution. So probably not.
Loss came. But yeah, we can.
Here. And then last little thing that we, what do we store with them? Just everything that was.
The top fingers about 9,000. Yeah, that's Chris's.
Yeah, it's some electronic document storage, which we're kind of in still transitioning towards, but we're using it more and more for stuff. Yeah, that's an annual fee.
And then we have a purchase order. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Okay.
Hey, favor? Hey, that's it, man. And then we are on to FEMA.
Okay, great. So first wrap up of our 2022 capital projects. Again, we only have tier three projects and we categorized them this year. The first of which is the Kilby Booster Pump Station. I'm going to give updates
over the course of the year on that project. Involves structurally retrofitting the pump station and getting a lot of electrical controls, cabinets out of a vault, wet area, potentially confined space even. Above ground, easier to access and on the equipment. So that's been a huge upgrade. I think it can make into a really nice clean facility. The final project cost ended up being $169,000. And to Karen, when, to your comment a couple board meetings ago, that was over the district estimate. And that was largely due to unforeseen electrical conditions on the site. But not so much the procurement of panels or controls, but more so trying to make the existing service and conduit, wire, et cetera, work that was there, which was not anticipated.
Sam, do you treat these as an overrun, or is it, if you go in there and someone's saying, hey, this electrical's got to get done, and you change the order into the contract, the new contract value is what it was before plus what you've added to. So it isn't really an overrun.
It's in scope. Yeah, that's certainly a way to think about it. And obviously, we don't have a strict set of construction documents we're working with. We don't have a third-party contractor. But I think with that same line of thinking, that's the correct analog. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Schedule, we got that wrapped up prior to peak season, which was the goal coming into the year. So that's great. Moving to the spine booster pump station, that's a very similar project that we've been given updates over the course of the year. This is going to extend into next year due to supply chain issues and procurement of the electrical equipment. We've got the structural upgrades completed and the building footprint has been expanded, which was necessary to fit the new electrical controls. So that was really the critical milestone to make sure we could continue work over the winter. And again, try and get this online ahead of peak season this year. So we still feel confident we can make that happen. But yeah, similar project scope. Should be good increase in safety, accessibility. We also have some controls, chlorine analyzer in that facility that will now be above grade and not in a vault anymore. So that'll help out our plant operations team as well. The budget figure remains at $190,000 with no changes anticipated. Fingers crossed on that one. And we touched on the schedule. Third, the Silver Springs booster pump station, the White Pine connection. This is a new pump in our Silver Springs pump station to utilize the number of groundwater sources we have in the lowest elevation part of our system. So essentially we have some sources that are trapped in part of the system, and this will kind of give us the ability to utilize them throughout the district, add resiliency, more flexibility in operations. So that's underway. We've got pump on order. We worked through some interesting controls challenges and came up with a pretty creative solution. Chris, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, so we're using one drive and a manual switch system to be able to control two separate pumps. So it's kind of a unique scenario to do that. The pumps happen to be very, very close electrically, and so the load allows us to be able to literally just flip a switch and run water either direction.
Hopeful that'll turn out nicely. And then the last project, of course, is just the pigging project. And that was a big improvement internally here at the district. It's the first time we did all the work completely in-house, support manufacturers, consultants, anything like that. So it's a great learning experience, a new skill set for our operations team, especially the Lost Canyon folks are a specialized group.
What was the cost of the pigging that we did last year?
Including the support, probably between $15,000 and
$20,000. And did they step in on this one and oversee a little bit, or was that the last one when they just kind of like,
yeah,
they're in the background, but you guys did it all, and then this time you did it 100%?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of a three-part process. A lot of hand holding the first time. This was a pretty new kind of did a hybrid method this 2 years ago. This year, 100% done.
And the first year was close to 40K, right? Wasn't it in that bulb? Yeah, 30.
Well,
Also, we also got a little closer.
Are you okay?
We also see some benefits in energy efficiency of the transmission line after the digging. But we really need to put pen to paper, whether it's we're really getting significant houses. And then there are some maybe less easy to find water quality benefits that Park City has also been both above. I think it's more applicable to their side of the transmission line, but still being a good part of those houses.
You say on average for the first 20 years it costs us $2,000 a year, and then after that it's going up to $3,500.
But yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's a challenging line to pick. It's been a learning experience. I certainly learned a lot, but now that we're doing it internally and have a lot of our own equipment, I think it'll be easy to get on the annual schedule that we probably should have been on.
Because isn't there a restriction in that line that if you build it over again, you have in there?
They go through a T, a little orange T, and then creep bend, which isn't ideal for. So we're constrained on like the different swaths we can use. That's the pigging project. Sorry for the lack of pictures. I ran out of hours last week. But that's the wrap up for 2020.
We'll invite you next for anyone who again. Looks like a water barrel. Eat it.
Doesn't look like a pig.
No. And that's a big thing. In the first year, too, we tried to send like a metal one right through a net that was kind of foam sponge deal.
Yeah, there's different barometers, the foams, and what kind of. But yeah, we had more rigid pig initially, which is probably not the best choice for us. So, yeah, we've kind of figured that out.
Yeah. They come out mangled.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Next topic is the award for the Summit Park Water and Sewer Project Phase 7A, which I've also been calling the Woodland Waterline Replacement, Woodland Drive. We discussed that during the last board meeting, and given the project cost, I guess we need a motion, correct, in order to award the contract to the MC contractors. And happy to discuss further if there's any additional questions or anything.
So what's the 7B part of it? Is that just something where you can have more later or?
Totally. So we envision potentially being able to do 7B in conjunction with 7A, like in the same construction season. But given what we saw with construction prices, we took a project that was similar in scope with past phases, kind of broke it into two phases that makes sense. We set up the contract documents in a way that we could elect to do one phase to protect ourselves if we saw the crazy pricing, which we did. And as a result, again, we realistically follow through the 7B. So 7B is designed and ready to go, both the sewer and the water piece of it. So that's positive. That could be a future project. Coming 2 years out, we have a project. 7A is the most critical piece from our perspective and gives us a big upgrade operationally with isolation valves and things of that nature. So we chose to focus on 7A out of the two pieces.
And then can I ask another question? Because I felt like the engineer's letter just said that Alpine and Extreme didn't bother to complete everything. I mean, was there were those things that we felt like were deal breakers, or I just feel like in a super competitive environment, are we disqualifying somebody because they didn't turn everything in, or was there really a reason to reject those bids?
It's a good question. So in the case of Alpine, there was critical missing elements with her project experience and references, and given how far off their bid was from the others. I mean, we certainly really wanted to run that down and make sure they were qualified to do the work. And they did not provide those. So for me, that was a no-brainer. We have to make that bid non-responsive. For Extreme, I'd say it was less critical, the missing items. But again, we had such a strong bid, I guess, from MC contractors. And have experience with them that there wasn't enough to, I guess, reformat the bidding period or even rebid or anything of that nature. So we kind of got the bid that we wanted. We're able to deem the bid that I don't think we want to execute as non-responsive, and that's what we ended up with. So I think we used the contract docs to our advantage in that situation.
Was it a bid bond?
Everybody had bid bonds. I'm trying to remember. Alpine, the biggest thing was the references and experience.
This says Extreme didn't have license, reference projects, references, and present commitments.
And present commitments. We'd like to see that when people put it in. Just
the big ones are generally, they're going to trigger if you select someone and then they pull out.
Correct.
That's a big one. So if they're just non-responsive, yep. It's just like they didn't submit at all.
Right.
So do you want to go, do you need a motion to go forward with 7A?
We do.
Yep.
Do we have any further discussion, or does somebody want to make a motion to go forward with 7A?
And the budget that was approved last night does include that.
I'll move that we approve the contract. And what's the name of the contract?
MC.
MC contract with the 7A project.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you.
All right, last item for me.
Did you want the follow-up for this one?
Oh, sure, please.
Okay, it's up there.
Thank you. So, apologies. I was still finalizing pricing and working with FX Construction last week, so all the pricing didn't make it in the board packet, but I'm trying to put it up on the screen. It's probably not the best format, but just to put numbers on the three items we identified as potential value, cost savings, however you want to think about it. I thought we could step through them one at a time for the board's information. So the first and most obvious item was the architectural facade and finish. Again, that's a staining process of the tank, and then also a form liner is what the contractors call it, but essentially be able to do some sort of rock or board form concrete to make it more aesthetic. The bid item broke down to $70,000, and they just based it off square footage, and it came up about $35,000 for each. And it'd be an easy strike for the contractor to just remove both items from the project.
But if they, let's just say that they went with board form contract or formwork on it, if they take it out, they've got to line their forms with something else.
Yep. Well,
so why? Well, they're going to have, I mean, when you put the board form concrete, depending on how they go about doing it, they're either using it for a form and take it, and you're telling them to take it out, which means they're going to go back to some other form.
I think staff.
Because they don't necessarily always line.
Right.
It said it's a liner, but with the board form stuff, they might actually use boards.
Yeah, and I think I'm using board form. Maybe that's a bit of a misnomer. I think form liner is more correct. So it wouldn't be the same process as building a residential house where what you're describing, they'd use something like.
So do they have a line item for forming concrete?
They do.
And then they have one for the form liner?
Yes.
Okay. Was the form lining or any kind of architectural treatment, was it the result of any kind of public input?
It was. So
look at the con.
That's a great segue. So I reached out to the planning commission and the planner we work with, Amir, who's great to work with and has been a good advocate for us. And if we eliminate the architectural finish of the tank, that would negate our current conditional use permit or CUP. So we're starting essentially from scratch. And that's non-negotiable, essentially, in Amir's mind.
And that's planning commission's stuff.
So, but I know we're joking, but I think architectural considerations are often a sticking point for that committee. And reopening that kind of doesn't allow us to control schedule, essentially. And that could take multiple months.
Is it the board form they want, or just some sort of input, Was it, we presented as a core form, the natural?
Well, we presented as a combination of both the stain and the form. So the, it is going to be somewhat board formed, you know, not in a literal sense, but board form finish and then a stain to give it a wood-like appearance.
Color and texture.
Yeah, so, thank you.
We don't really have a choice here because per se, take it out, it's going to go back into the grinder again.
So, yeah, we're getting a little ahead.
Correct. And based on he's going to go through a couple more things, but based on the savings that we believe we can achieve, it is negligible.
Well, that one was the one that I was thinking if he didn't have any interference on it, but the other one, I think he had the landscaping and then he had some sort of the equipment that's in there. The equipment that goes in there. Isn't there a warranty period that you're passing on to the contractor for putting in? If we self-install it, then we're pretty much taking it ourselves.
Yeah, I think for the installation piece, we would be, but I think we could still obtain some sort of warranty working with our typical
supplier. But it's going to cost us something to do it, too.
Yes.
Sure.
It's yep. not going to be free.
So the other item is the chlorinator, and then the last item is the landscape. Can we do those things? Absolutely. Should we be? I mean, the total saving is 60. Those two items, like $65,000, so $130,000 on a 2-point.
But it's $130,000 if we don't pay the contract.
So we can go over that. Because
but how much is it going to cost us to do the same thing?
Sure.
So we had one other project we were to not be able to do because we're spending our time.
At the end of the day, taking a look at this and idea that some of the warranty period, the establishment period that you might have had for the landscaping, it looks like it's wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I think it's a judgment call on the landscaping coordination equipment, but essentially, I don't think we're sniffing anywhere close to that 10% number we're trying. I think we gave it a good shot.
That's right.
But essentially, the cost savings come down to the district throwing a lot of our resources, expertise, and time at it to come up with those cost savings. So I'm completely open to doing that. We've discussed it, gotten buy-in from folks, but we can approach it either way by leaving it in the contract or taking these coordination landscaping out of it.
I would be what we have with the
Yeah, my recommendation absolutely would be to not restart the CUP process.
Yeah.
I think given staff resource constraints, it probably makes no sense to leave. At the end of the day, I don't know, we'll be buying trees for the landscaping. Yeah, you know, we're not, we can get the job done, but that's we're waterfront team.
Is the planner helping you? I mean, he or she been able to backwards to help you?
It's AC. That was the planner. Amir.
AC.
Oh, Amir. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
He's really good. He's been super helpful. I feel like really set us up for success the first time. We put a lot of effort into it too, obviously, at some cost. But yeah, I see where he's coming from. I mean, he's got a good job, and I think it's significant enough that. CUP. So
if you're running a problem, you need to let me know.
Okay, well, with that, I guess I kind of had two approaches in mind. We could either, again, recommend to award the contract, or we could recommend to make some revision after the fact.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thanks for going through. And I know that it's always kind of difficult from
that. Hoping we find a couple, a layup or two in there, but.
Let me just ask you, Gerald, a question. And I don't mean to harp on Summer Park, but I'll look. We get in that under control.
No.
Not really, but
yes. Read the note every month.
since we met last,
yeah.
right, we've had three leaks, including one today. Yeah, yeah. And then another, at least one other identified lease, two more. But that's why we're doing the Woodland project. That's why we're doing, I mean, that the tank doesn't just benefit the Park, it also benefits Discovery. So we're trying to do what we can with the resources we can. Right. We're not going to go all in on Summit Park and ignore other parts of the system, but we're going to try to pick up.
today was one that was visible.
Hey, see if we can get it.
I think we're on C.
Yes, and just if you want to bring that up. Since the board packet was last Friday on the 2nd, we had not closed the month or even completed billing. But this week we've been able to do that and get the month pretty much closed. So give you a quick update. Our positive variance is up to 1.32 million over what had been projected. That is up about $150,000 from October. That comes from additional revenue that we had in October that was higher than what had been budgeted. Expenses were within $5,000 November. So very tight on the expense budget, but we did have more revenue than we thought. We can go on down. As you can see, retail water sales have actually come up nicely. We're still running low on promontory raw water, which we will end the year that way because golf season is over. And Park City Wheeling, we're making some ground up there because they are taking a lot of water right now here at the end of the year.
Ew.
And I'm guessing they're making snow. Would that be, Chris was showing me.
Yeah, the I mean, they're doing 2,900 gallons a minute right now. Oh, that's right. So that would be the most recent stuff. Yeah.
On impact fees, remember budget 1.6. Our first budget amendment was we thought there was going to be 1.3. Then revised it when we went back last night to 1.425. We're at 1.425 if we have it today. The big help there was we had $100,000 impact fee come in from Silver Creek that we thought was going to be prepaid for Matt Lowe, but they actually paid us cash instead. They bought them.
There's another one.
So and then we got just a few in this month, so that's where we're on budget now. Let's go ahead and go on down. Like I said, expenses, we had very little variance in November. Expenses basically ran on budget for November. Go on down.
Who is Silver Creek out of prepaid?
Matt Lowe is out. He's got like 10 acre feet left of the full prepaid. Then he has a lot that are about half, where they still have to pay us about half the impact fee, and he can only sell it. He bought those from Whitney Payton, and I can't remember exactly the amount. I mean, eight of them. Quite a bit of them, you know, like maybe 100 acre feet or something like that. But again, even on those, we'll at least get half of the money.
Thank you.
You said Matt Lowe.
Matt Lowe, yeah. Cash, we're sitting about where we were last year on number of days. As you recall, we build it up, and in December, we're going to spend, you know, $2.5 million between paying our lease fees to Weaver Basin for next year and just finishing up a lot of things. So the December is a big cash outlay, but at least we're in a really good position to make that. Customer growth. We're up to 270 connections now this year compared to 410, if you want to get just a little bit, Chris. Last year, well above the four-year average, but again, not what we were last year. Impact fees, you'll see we're at the 1.41 at the end of November. And like I said, we've gotten a couple of them to get us to budget for the year. Assessments and promontory, 70 so far this year, 114 this time last year. So again, well above four-year average, but not as high as last year. Water usage. Just a little bit of a clarifier. November's usage looks high, and part of that is of the Utah Olympic Park took significantly more water than they ever have, about 10 acre feet more this month than they normally do. And so that skews where in the purple, you'll see that we've got 96 acre feet used by our customers compared to 69 last year. Take about 10 off of that, 10 or 11 because of Olympic Park taking a lot more water than they normally do.
You know what? I was like, what if we, because now that UOP is using more water than they have, I wonder if we flop prone to UOP. Because obviously they're saving.
Just golf on
the golf and put on the
okay. You'll see that next month. And MRW for the year, down a little bit, Chris. We're still 14% below for the year at the 1,689 acre feet compared to 1,136. So
let me just say one other thing about the UOP. The UOP approached us about providing water for the remainder of the year because they were told by Summit Water that Summit could not provide them water for the new ski runs. We were going to do that. Colin called me this morning saying Summit's now saying they do have water, which is the water that we're selling them. But we will continue to collect the wheeling charge about an additional 15 acre feet now and then.
Yeah, so just real quick too, Lisa and I were doing some back of the napkin calculations today, and it looks like they're taking 825 gallons a minute right now, sort of on average, the UOP, and that gives them with, and then with Summit Water allotment, it gives them about 18 days left worth of take before they hit their limit. So it's well, so. Yeah. So, well, they'll hit Summit. Will hit the allotment with us at their 700. In yeah, by the 18th. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a depletion. There's only five of
the state. The state has a depletion.
There's a depletion. Right. About when we.
And that's. Sorry. It's that you only pay them the full 1.8 whatever year per year, 1.8 million for our lease fees. Mm-hmm. And then we just expense that over the year, equally over the months.
You may not want me if it has PFAS.
So kind of what Chris was talking about, Summit Water through the end of November taking 630 acre feet if you're looking at Summit Water pumps. So that's the 70 acre feet that Summit Water can still buy from us to sell the UOP, and then we only charge the wheeling fee.
Bottling plant that bought water and put it in a bottle and left. Mm-hmm. And, it doesn't, that doesn't
but this kind of recycle, we were basing these charges for the same water over and over again. Mm-hmm. Okay. Down a little, down the next capital budget, Sam went over that. It's all what he kind of went through, final pricing, the projects were rolling over. Let's go down to the, so you'll see the purple were a little bit higher than previous years, which was expected because of base, and kind of usage just goes back to normal. Part of that, though, is going down to the month to comparison. So let me draw your attention to the wholesale line. We had $71,850 in revenue. We'd only budgeted $35,000, so we made an extra $36,000 there. That's Utah. That's the extra wheeling charges that we were able to make there. And then we picked up a little bit in residential. But the main overage for November was because of UOP the wheeling charge to them to get that water up to. So, yeah, November, just a little tick up from where we're in October.
Well, you know, the Olympic Park, is it the transactional aspect of it is here?
Month to month, we set a wheeling fee for them based on our cost to take the water, like pile elevation charge and pump and repair and all that. So they pay us $5.28 per 1,000 gallons, but that doesn't include the water right. That's just our cost to take somewhat water up the hill for the park.
So do you think it's, will they believe it's not there? It's supposed to go a longer term set up?
They would like to get a longer term agreement set up. We have to go through, I mean, right now what we were offering them was a commercial interruptible rate, which is $13.30
going to the end,
you know, corresponds like zero off that public hearing process. I know he's looking at a 2030 Olympics. And so the pressure for water up there is only going to be.
Are they trying to develop a new source?
We have had discussions with them. They would like to drill their own well, but it's in the same nugget as one of our current wells, a Summit water well. I don't think it's going to get in the flow that they want. I'm putting in a pond up there, a 2 million gallon pond, but you know we can fill it at 300 gallons a minute, but they want to pump it 2,500 gallons a minute. So they kind of put the cart before the horse and developing the hill and everything before thinking through the water process. But because of the commitments that they have at the hill, they're stuck with whatever their cost is to get them snow. They're going to have to pay it.
You kind of limited to how much we sell a Summit. You didn't have a lot to put on the table.
No, and that is gradually dropping off as well.
Well, thank you. Any questions on the update?
It looked like you also had an update on this.
Oh, yes. Some of you were there last night to see it in person. Our budget was approved last night. They approved our budget with a 10% FOLA and a 3% merit. Our budget numbers would have allowed the 5% merit. Very much appreciate your efforts. Board members and coming and speaking to that. Paul's in line with what the county, what the meetings had said, and what Roger, which it could have been 10 and 5, maybe it could have been, but 10 and 3 is still a nice increase for everyone. So thank you for supporting that and even really having been willing to support more.
Good.
Yes.
We didn't support the 3%.
You know, kind of the pressure.
Well, when we got up there and made the pitch, it was entirely a potential impact. They had the information point of it. We're no longer the board that
And we were very transparent with them, which is not always what some of the others may do, let's say. But yeah, so thank you for that. And it's approved, and that rolled out for next year.
So I had a schedule in there of our meeting dates for next year, which I need to post on a public notice website, and we put it in the newspaper, just giving everybody a heads up. These are just same schedule, third Thursday, not really interfering or landing on any holidays. So we don't have to stick to these. This is just a general guideline. And if we need to change one here and there, that's completely fine. And we can do that at any time. But any comments or questions on, I guess you need to make a motion to approve this and then I can post it.
Hey, all in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. So this posted.
Okay, and then I had in your packet, this was just a discussion item, no action at this time. We've been doing a little digging around and seeing what other special service districts are doing for board compensation. You know, since I've been here 7 years ago, it's been $100. And while we know that you're all likely doing this, you are doing this out of the goodness of your hearts, and we very much appreciate that. We wanted to, you know, we wanted to see what others were doing. So we started looking around at Basin and Fire District, and the dollar amount per meeting was definitely a little bit higher. So per statute, we cannot compensate our board any more than $5,000 per person per year. That would include, you know, trainings or, you know, any kind of extra, you know, and not just meetings, but total compensation, $5,000. So what we've been talking about recommending is doing a $300 per meeting, with the chair receiving an additional 50. I think that might have been the fire district. I can't remember. One of the other special service districts does a little bit additional, and we thought that was a good idea. And so that would take a red line to our bylaws, which I included in the memo. It's pretty straightforward. Also, during the last legislative session, a statute was amended to allow board members to participate in health insurance, well, insurance plans, and specifically we're discussing the group health insurance plan. So that would be a change to our personnel policies. We currently know the only none of the other special service districts do that currently, except for High Valley, which has recently made that change. Well, High Valley's new, but they have recently adopted that policy. So Chris Robinson, Roger Armstrong, and Molina, they are eligible to take health insurance as that board has made it available to their members. So we are just proposing, that's up for your discussion, whether or not you'd like to include that. This is not, I would envision this as we will outlay the $300 a month. How you choose to use that money to pay for health insurance, should you choose to come on to the policy, would be you know, a reimbursement that you would give to the district. I don't want to put half of it toward, you know, take your meeting money. No, keep it very clean. Here's your money. You pay the district a monthly. Right now, and that could be a single, a two-party, or a family. The amounts are about 500 or so for a single, just over 1,000, and 1,600 for a family, for a two-party. That is, well, it's what you would pay.
What?
The employees get a little bit of a discount. Most of our employees, it's all free because we do biometrics, and those biometrics, if passed by the employees, they get discount, 10% discount. It's not a lot. And
so good.
So, but it's a rent, you know, we're talking $500 or $540. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, we would be compensating $300 per meeting. So, and you cannot do more than, yeah. So there's a little wiggle room. It's not the full 5,000. If you want to do the full 5,000, you can take it up. But there, as we've seen in prior years, there may be, you know, regionalization meetings, or there may be, you know, interview or some other functions that we'd like you to attend. So we wanted to, you know, not just do it once a month. Yeah. These have been run by David Warnock and Dave Thomas, has seen the red lines. They did not have any changes for company. I mean, they agreed. Dave said this is something that High Valley has done, and your board could go through the same process. again, this is up for discussion. I don't have it on the agenda as an as a agenda item to be approved. If you were to approve it at the January date or after discussion, then it would need to go in front of the county council, the administrative or the personnel policies and the bylaws. Do you have anything to add, Andy? Or
no. It could be like a on the insurance plan.
Well, we have to go through the process of getting, you know, them eligible, because right now they're not even part of them. So I would deem it a new one.
But it still mean you're an employee of the district for RF purposes, which is what we went through last month. So this is just a benefit as a control board. Lisa said we went around to a couple different other districts, special service district, looking at what they're paying their boards. Their boards are not as exciting as ours. So we felt that we should just, you know, kind of raise the conversation. This has probably been this way for more than 7 years. It does. I mean, it's
yeah.
So if this is something that you endorse, then we can formally put it together. And I guess technically you have to make the recommendation to take it to the county council.
After last night?
Sure.
what was the thought process on the quarterly basis for payments going forward?
That was just for administrative purposes.
Make it easier.
I just like, okay, let's do it quarterly, and then we just give you a check and
it's like a lot of stuff. So,
okay, great. I just want to be sure to thank you. And of course, he does too. Next year.
So, do we need to make a motion or do we?
It's not noted as an action item. So if you would like us to put it on the agenda for January as an action item, can do that.
Any changes? You like it the way it is? Oh, the section in black is just our current personnel policy related to group health insurance. The section in red would be what we need to add in the personnel policies in order to bring board members onto the group health insurance.
Didn't format very well.
I wasn't entirely clear on the 300 will be a payment direct, and then you can't apply the 300 towards the monthly insurance if you want to do that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to try to keep it really clean.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just wondering if maybe the text could be.
Go to that last paragraph, because I don't think it is. I don't think it says.
It's in there, but I didn't read it that way.
In the district's group health insurance plan at their own cost, any amount the district pays to provide to a board member. So the board is, the district is not paying for the board. It is funded only by the board member. Because it says any amount the district pays to provide a board member with coverage under the group health will be included as part of the board member's compensation.
I think that just means if we were not to do it the way that I'm suggesting, where we would say, oh, I'm going to put $300 towards your payment this month, that counts toward the $5,000. If you're directly paying that full amount of the cost each month, then it would fall under that.
Just make that clear. That's the reason why. Pay us the $300, and then if someone decides to do health insurance, they pay you separate directly.
Okay.
And then that's because then the 500 is 5,000.
Only on the meetings. Yep, it's only on meetings. They're separate. I guess it's combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meetings.
No.
Yeah, they're completely separate.
In the first column.
But is that all of you receive a 1099 for your compensation for the year from last year compensation, that'll show the $300
or whatever you're paid for it that show that full amount. And then when you did your taxes, you have to write up the amount you paid back to publisher to directly back to it. But that way you all get the same amount on your 1099, whether you decide to take health insurance or just it as cash or whatever you're doing.
But you don't need to take insurance.
But you don't have to take
it. Correct.
Yeah. Is the insurance like an HSA or that's what I
call it? The insurance there's a traditional plan and a deductible plan. They're Intermountain Healthcare. No U of U hospital, it's not. So it would be like your basics.
And I think it's the Select Med Network if you wanted to look it up.
And there may be cheaper options out there, but this is what.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the cheapest.
Well, it's just going through the whole marketplace. I mean, it's similar to what a family of four would pay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is what is it that what?
Like, well, not to throw my dirty laundry out there, but we have a family of four. We have a high deductible health plan with a $15,000 deductible for, and I want to say it was like $1,600. So.
A big deductible.
Yeah, that's a big deductible. And it, you know, the problem is it doesn't cover, you know, Don't get me started.
Well, it's not too dissimilar. So $3,500 a piece, you know, deductible, which is what college is. So.
What if you get a Medicare? Well, thanks, you guys, for looking into that.
So if there's a straw poll of consensus, then we can formalize this for January. Is that...
I wish it had been on tonight.
Help us subtract. This is okay. You know, you're going to see it at breakfast for me and pick it at Deer Valley. I'm all for it. Who costs the district any money on the insurance? Because the
board member will
pay. Yeah.
Which might help if we know we're going to have to turn over in 20 years. So, but we need all the help we can get.
I appreciate that you're doing even this. I'm all for it.
Tim, we need to keep some time here.
Okay, well, this will be on the agenda again.
Three more months of the report. Okay,
if it's okay, I'm going to combine A and B since they're interrelated. We, as Karen knows, we had a regionalization meeting this past week. There were some interesting discussions about what Weber Basin's plans are. As far as an importation project, they're working through the NEPA project at looking at importing water from East Canyon at this point. Based on some internal discussions with Sam and Brian, we have decided not to put any water on our Schedule D for the coming year. If you remember, what we put on this coming year is a commitment 5 years down the road, and based on where our supply is at this point, we're not comfortable with putting any water on it. As part of the discussion with sending water to, instead of treating it at our treatment plant, saying at Quinn's Junction, if there was a way to augment the Highway 40 system with some pumping, there may be a potential for water. However, Weber Basin would rather just see that line be grabbed. Be gravity fed as opposed to augmenting any type of pumping through it. So that's probably not in the plan currently. And as part of the regionalization, they are looking at another interconnect over by the White Barn, somewhere coming off of Doc Holliday over that way, or Holiday Ranch Loop all the way down. And that really, there could be benefits for us on the Highway 40 system side, but really there's not much benefit to us at all by this next interconnect. There's about a $30,000 bill for Bowen and Collin to perform the engineering services. It was decided that we would split that three ways, even though, in my mind, this interconnect only benefits Summit Water. Summit Water is going to be subscribing to 1,900 gallons a minute in 2026. So
we don't have any say in that division of the bill, the Bowen and Collin.
No, I tried.
The one positive is that, so the Highway 40 system, they can get about, what was it, 1,100 gallons a minute, give or take, through it. And so theoretically, we have 20% of that. But right now, Summit Water is taking all of that, so we can't get anything through there. So if Summit Water has another route to get their water, then that allows us to get some water through the Highway 40 system.
They take it on 224?
Correct.
That frees up a line for us potentially.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good silver lining.
So, you know, yes, it's 30K, you know, or 10K that we don't feel we should pay, but being partners in it might not be playing nice, right? You know, being part of the regionalization thing.
Staying out of court for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. $10,000 with illegal fees doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
But we will be committed to 1/3 of the interconnect when it's actually constructed as well, though, right?
Correct. It could be $7 million for us. But that process, I mean, they're just going through the NEPA process. There are other things that they're going to have to identify. I mean, Park City, when Three Kings comes online, you know, they'll have plenty of water, but that will reduce their dependency on Rockport, which will be water on that side. So my guess is we're 15 years away.
Okay.
Before an importation project would have to happen. And if it keeps snowing, who knows? So those are the two. Those are those two updates in the packet. I included the information from CRFA, our architect. We have now had two meetings with them, and we will have a third meeting. So, Kathy, the renderings that are in this packet are High Valley Transit. Those are not our buildings. So we had our...
Ignore the name.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Like,
we're taking on transportation now.
Yeah. No, that's theirs. We're close.
We first blush meeting based on very high-level programming. And the budget as of today, based on high level, not getting, you know, breaking things down, and just over $20 million, which is a lot more expensive than we thought. That does include furniture, fixtures, excavation.
So all now, the site work.
So now what?
What GSBS was showing, it was similar. But they're adding a 2023 contingency, a 15% contingency on top of that, another a design contingency of another million. There's a ton of contingency, which is good.
Yeah, can you read from that?
Yeah.
So we'll share with that upper right-hand corner. So that is access to our parcel.
Yeah, so in the grant.
Yeah, so that's that shared fuel facility piece of right here.
The green.
This one, green. This is High Valley. This is us. PRI. This is undetermined. And this is Park City.
What was PRI?
That's the
church.
Yes, north is up. So this is the state
road shed that's right in here. Mm-hmm.
So based on that, I mean, I think there's a little thicker shock in that number, but we will meet again with them next Thursday. We need to then go out and tour and look and sniff and smell and figure out what other people are doing. Some of the office space sizes that were initially identified are probably double of what we actually need. So So I think we can shrink the square footage without sacrificing any functionality.
What about staging?
For construction?
Because I think they have prefab building with them, did that. So as far as I can see, is there any possibility of expansion or staging or phasing?
So what we've asked them to do is, as we talk through phasing and making sure we're not cutting ourselves so short that we wouldn't be able to expand just based on the current space without having the physical addition. Right now, this is projected to be two buildings, but the ability to expand, and have had that discussion. Again, we've only had two discussions with them. We'll have the third one this coming Thursday and break for the holidays, and then we'll be back. We walk around their office downtown, and they kind of, you know, open floor, some shared spaces, some common spacing. We'll just sharpen our pencil a little bit, but obviously it'll be more expensive than we initially expected. By January, we will have a new operator two at the district. Lisa Hawkins.
Hey, we don't have that
button. So, looking for a little clothing allowance for Lisa, so she can go out.
Oh,
not my job.
Okay. Be on call. Yeah, they're on first.
It's been something I wanted to do. Already mentioned about it. You know, it was like a good big picture, but to go really in depth, like pumps and motors. Don't know the intricacies of those. So yeah, I can give Sam a hard time now about inspection. Well, I told Steve, I think I went to the AWWA for the exam class last week, and I thought it was well done, and I learned a lot about that along the way. I met some great operators, treatment guys.
How many women were there?
Yeah, I thought I might have been the only one, but there were four of us. Maybe like 60.
The water industry.
Water industry. But it was great. We're definitely going to be on it. AWWA does their committee, and they need help. Yeah. So they just do it twice a year, fall and spring.
Cool.
And I'm taking my sense on money. Yeah.
So, anyways, good job, Lisa. We have spent the last 2 days, several of us down at the City Work Conference in Salt Lake with 1,000 other people. One of the goals of the district is to get City Works or some other type of asset management workflow product going. And so we are going to really look hard at what are we currently paying for and why, and then figure out through City Works what we want, to go. The last thing I want to do is bring all of the paper that we have accumulated for 20 plus years over to a new space. And we know there's products out there that can help us, but they're not cheap. We talked to a couple different people. We figure we spend $150,000 a year currently on various programs and storage and things like that. And we talked to a couple people as we promoted John to backflow administrator. We want to figure out a way to streamline that project, but if we do that, then it's going to cost us $10,000 annually and a $16,000 conversion fee and lunch on Tuesdays. And so it's all these different things that we have to look at and budget for and figure out what's in the best interest of the district, as it's harder and harder to find qualified employees. This may help alleviate the need for some FTE. It will never replace our field people, but if we can go out in the field with an iPad and look at a map or a 3D rendering of where pipe is, where a valve is, what a pressure on a hydrant is, I think we're better off by spending that money. So we will be digging into that more next week. It will probably take us all of 2023 to come up with a program and then implement that, get started in 2024. So that's going to be one of the things that we're going to be working on over the next several weeks and well into next year. So I don't know if anyone has any questions on that.
I like it. I think it's super important to have that.
And that's kind of the DocuWare, you know, things that we're already spending money on. So that's the goal. And that is all I have.
Okay. Do we have an emergency? Sure.
Department updates?
Oh, yeah. Questions then?
Ryan, you have any update?
Here's a question for Anna. What is 3G technology for a smartphone?
So the 3G is like our old technology. Like you hear everything on the advertising your 5G and stuff. So the 3G's don't work anymore.
Yeah, the 3G technology has been deprecated and they are physically removing it from towers. So any 3G devices will no longer work on the Verizon network anyway after the end of this month.
So like we had the two on-call phones.
Yeah, right? So we had some old flip phones that we had to update. And as well as the modems that are in our endpoints for this for the meter reading, a lot of those were 3G still.
You said with the scanner, you're moving into phones and iPads possibly.
Well, yeah, easier move on it. Right now, when you're looking at the screens, it's difficult with eyes. No, you can control it, but it's two-point authentication to get to it.
Okay, so safety and security thing, having that out there in that moment and actually being able to control something from it, is that something that your consultant would be using?
It's actually, yeah, and it's technically it's three-point authentication. You have to get onto the device if it's a phone. You have to be able to log into the app, and then you have to log into the SCADA system as well. So technically it's three steps to get to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can get to it on an iPad and on a phone currently. It's just not very user-friendly. It's and the new system kind of becomes device agnostic. The screens flow a little easier. It just becomes more user-friendly.
Okay.
Thank you. Yep.
Do you have one last thing?
We can do that.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. My homeless part, Ian gets water happen, so he's pretty happy.
I'm happy. And then, Chris, can you remind us on the TrackStar program, how that works?
The TrackStar? Yeah, the TrackStar program is stuff that Lisa had initiated with a year ago. Lisa and Scott had started it, and I think it's the county uses it as well. Is that correct? So it's an online review process that you check in quarterly, provide goals. It's self-review, so the employee has to do their own review, critiquing themselves based on some questions over the course of the year, and then managers review that and sit down with the employees and talk about it. This has been the second. Yeah. So we used it last year, created the goals. And then this year has been the first year using it to evaluate based on the full year.
It's much easier to have those conversations, though. Like it provides the platform
for it if you're willing to take the steps, you know, and like, we tried to incentivize people to do it. And I mean, I know I checked in with Anna and my direct reports and Steve, and I think it's great. I also on mine like to go in and take notes. Like if I know like the drought, for example, I just talk, you can go in there and take a quick note and say like, oh yeah, we had to do the drought rates and we did this. And then at the end of the year, it's really easy to write your review. I think it's a great tool. I think, you know, it just isn't, you know, it's not used on a daily basis, like once a year. So we're trying to get people more.
Yeah. Dick and I are going to go through and review some of the competency goals and things like that. Yeah. It's a generalized program that's not necessarily created for water companies, right? And so some of the things like managing vision is a difficult generalization goal as it works its way down. So we're going to kind of look at,
you know, there are like 100 competencies that you could choose from, and you could make it more than that if you, you know, but they have some you can pick from. And Scott and I did an original template, you know, 4 templates, divided the employees up into 4 categories, and then we gave everybody kind of like some core competencies. But that, I think we wanted to, I mean, the idea was we change those depending on the year, you may be focusing on different priorities and goals. So yeah, Andy and I are going to take a look and go through and pick out some more. Now that we have a new general manager, that's slightly different than, you know, 2 years ago. So I think that'll be a good exercise. And we also ask, we have 3 questions that we pose to all employees about, you know, how can we be better as a district, or 3 questions that we kind of want feedback from that we then use to help, you know, do some things. And so,
yeah, and my comments in my update were more the shortcomings of my management of my guys, not filling it in each month, you know, or quarterly, like, you know, not meeting up with them like I should. That was where the comment came from.
It is nice. It's online now, so you can go back and read your previous years. And like, if I want to put in notes, like, oh, I want to talk to Lisa about this during my review, I can throw those in, and they can either be visible to her or just for me.
And it was also helpful so for like coming on to
try
to identify the common issues.
Nice. That's good. And then last question, something about a Christmas party.
Oh, they're planning for the next month. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. So our Christmas party next month, or which is
Wednesday.
I mean, yeah, it's coming up next week, actually. So
it's Wednesday. If more than
I can't make it. Jesus is catering it. So it should be good.
Who's
Denise?
She's Denise's home plate.
Sorry. Okay. Anything before we adjourn? We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Okay, we're turning 7:35.